Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep shaking.
Everybody doing tonight? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the Before You Go Pro Locker Room Show. We are extremely excited for tonight's show because, as always, we try to bring guests into the locker room that have experience in the football industry, that care for aspiring players, and that really have the type of background that can give you guys tips and advice to get to the next level. So we have an amazing guest tonight. This is a man that has played at the highest level that football can provide. He was a wide receiver at the University of Ohio State, which is a big-time program. And then he even actually had the opportunity to get drafted by the Indianapolis Colts and play in the NFL. So Mr. Roy Hall is our guest, and I believe we have Roy already on the line. Let's see if we can get Roy in the locker room. Hold on 1 second. Hello, Roy. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we're excited to have you on, and I know that you're an extremely busy person. You've got a great foundation that you're running, but we really appreciate your time tonight.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
No problem. So we have, I know this is your very first time on our show, but we have an audience of young football players that are trying to get to the level that you got to, and we have a lot of parents and coaches that tune into our show as well. And we just try to teach them the fundamentals of being a well-groomed athlete, but also a well-groomed person. So talk to us a little bit about growing up in Ohio. Did you feel like football was something that was mandatory growing up in such a football state?
I don't think it was mandatory, but it definitely was a recreational sport for young men in the inner city to play as an outlet. Some people are born with athletic ability, and some others have to kind of perfect that craft, so to speak, over some years. But I was one of the guys that was always tall and always fast and always competitive and wanted to be the best at whatever I did. So it wasn't necessarily mandatory here. Well, I'll just speak on where I was raised in the city. But I know in some of the smaller towns throughout Ohio, football is kind of a religion. You really get a choice. You're going to play ball in some of these towns. And it wasn't like that necessarily in Cleveland, but we're huge Browns fans, and obviously football is kind of in our blood in Ohio, but you didn't really feel like you were forced to, but it was something that definitely was an outlet for your toughness.
And growing up in Ohio, did you play other sports, or was football the predominant sport for you?
I played everything. I played everything, basketball, football, ran track, played a little softball or baseball early on in my life. But I excelled in basketball and football, was first team all state in football and basketball my junior and senior year of high school. So I thought I was a better basketball player than football player. I just stopped growing. I reached 6'3", and that was pretty much it. So playing small forward in the NBA wasn't an option at 6'3".
And that's a good point because, you know, a lot of kids, they battle back and forth on where they feel they can maybe have some professional value. With the college scholarships and the chance for a pro opportunity, the main reason why you chose football?
Absolutely. I think whoever you have in your life, whether it's a parent or a coach or a mentor, whoever is helping you make those decisions as you get older, your junior, senior years in high school, when it's decision-making time in regards to whether or not you want to go to school or where you want to go and what you want to play, you have to look at all the numbers, you know, just because, not that you can't be Allen Iverson and be 6 foot, 170 pounds in the NBA, but those chances are kind of slim to none. So I knew as a 6'3", 215 pounds senior in high school, I played free safety and I played receiver. I mean, I could have went anywhere in the country, all the way on the West Coast as far as Stanford and down south to Florida and anywhere in the Boston area and obviously in the Midwest. But I had over 50 scholarship offers. And, you know, in basketball, I possibly could have received a Division I scholarship to a very, very, very small Division I school. So you can either go play anywhere you want to in the country or you can be limited to your options. And, again, it just depends on that family decision that you guys make.
Was your school, Roy, a school that produced a lot of Division I talent, or were you somewhat of a newcomer, your school, to producing kids?
We didn't really produce that many football talent. I was kind of a big fish in a big unknown pond. Usually they say you're a big fish in a small pond, but, you know, we're a Division I school. But we didn't produce a lot of talent. I think I was the first Division I athlete football-wise to come out of there in like 30 or 40 years when I came out. And so we've had a few since then. But when I was playing, I was one of the first to kind of get it done. But a lot of it wasn't necessarily just football. It was academics as well. I graduated with like a 3.8 GPA out of high school, which was so important. And I learned that lesson early. On the recruiting process where you can have, and people talk about it all the time, but it's so true, you can have a great wide receiver or defensive back or whatever position you play and whatever sports you play, but you can have a player that plays the same position with the same statistics. One is in California, one is in Cleveland, Ohio. The one in Cleveland, Ohio has a 3.7 acume or overall GPA. The person out in Cali is struggling with a 2.23. And if all of those things are on the table, if everything else is even, the coach is going to go with the person with the better academics. Not because he wants a smart football player. He wants a disciplined football player. See, grades has everything to do with discipline. What are you willing to do to be the best at this off-the-field stuff? Are you willing to put in the same effort off the field that you are on the field? And so many young athletes don't understand that. They just see grades as a measuring stick of how smart you are. All it just talks about is your discipline. Are you willing to put in the work? You're willing to put in the work in the weight room if you want to get stronger, if you want to get more explosive, if you want to be more physical. You'll put in the weight room work. If you want to get more in tune with what defenses are doing or offenses are doing, you study film more. You go to football camps to, you know, perfect your craft and to get tips from people who've done it before and been at certain levels. So you have to apply those same fundamentals to your football, I mean to your academics as well. And so what coaches do, if you can study academics in high school, I won't have to worry about you being able to study or your study habits in college, and you'll also be able to pick up on plays, and I'll be able to trust you with more information on the football field. If I can only give you a third of the playbook, you can only run a third of the plays, which means you can only be on the field a third of the time. But if you can digest and understand an entire playbook because your study habits were developed in high school, then I'll be able to trust you with this entire playbook, and you'll get more opportunities to make plays.
Those are fabulous points, Roy, and I appreciate you highlighting that for our guests. Who was that instilled that type of academic work ethic in you? Did you have it naturally? Did you already get that? Or did mom or dad or a mentor make you focus on academics?
Well, my mother was big on it, but she didn't harp on it. I was raised where all you had to do was tell me one time. But, again, it's not necessarily who's telling you. It's what you want to be with and what you want to do with your life. Ultimately, you can have the best people around you telling you great things, but if you don't want it for yourself, it's not going to happen. And for me, again, I was just tired of reading about and learning about and hearing about athletes that only could bring athleticism or a 42-inch vertical or a fast 40 time to the table. And I sought out to find the smartest person, the most academically sound student in my individual classes and respective classes, and I wanted to compete with them. So I made everything competitive. And when you make it competitive, you know that you can put in the work. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm fighting against myself. It's who's the smartest person in the class. Okay, you're getting an A plus or 97% or you're averaging a 98%. And we all know who the smart people in the class is. And, you know, whether you're friends or not doesn't matter. You find that person, you say, I'm going to compete with this person academically. So at the end of the grading period, if I had a low A, let's just say I had a 93% and they finished with a 98%, that's fine that they beat me percentage-wise, but I just proved to them that I can do what they can do, but I know for sure that they can't get out on that football field and do what I can do. So I was the best on the field and off the field, and I wanted to be recognized as such and respected by my peers as that, so that at the end of the day, they couldn't say, well, he's a privileged kid or he's getting these different things because he's a football player or these coaches are here seeing him. So he gets to miss class and he gets to do all these fun things. But no, I get to do those things, but I also take care of my business off the field.
Did you ever find it hard, Roy, to hang out with the right type of people off the field? Did you ever have friends that you had to turn away from or anybody that you had to, you know, make sure you didn't hang out around too much?
Absolutely. What a great question. I mean, that's something that a lot of young people struggle with. You have to be willing to give up any friendship and any relationship that you have with anybody if it's going to deter you and keep you from your destiny. You have to make up in your mind that it could be a family member. It could be a cousin that you grew up with. It could be a uncle. It could be anybody. If they're trying to get you to do anything to keep you off of your success and your potential, from reaching your highest potential, you got to get rid of those people. It's a difficult thing to do at 15 or 16 or 17. It's difficult to do at 30 years old. But at the end of the day, you know, they usually say birds of a feather flock together. You are who you hang with. Watch the people around you. I don't even believe in having a circle of friends because a circle of friends will get you in trouble. You know, no matter what, if you're standing in the middle of a circle, you can only see half of that circle. And so the other half that's behind you are the half that usually gets you into trouble just by having them around you. And so I tell young people all the time, get a square of friends. You know, a square, you take 4 points to make a square. You get you three people in your life. They don't have to be, they could be your friend and be a little bit older than you. Your mom could be your friend. Your mom's supposed to be your friend. Keep just three people that to keep you on track. I had a best friend who was a better athlete than I was faster than I was, played football longer than I did, was more athletic than I was. And he made some poor choices early on. His football career never panned out. He's actually serving time right now. And it started when he was in junior high in the eighth grade when, you know, he started, you know, selling weed and smoking weed and marijuana, that type of thing. But it just caught up to him. So I had to, you know, he was still a friend of mine, so to speak. I knew he would do anything for me. But I couldn't get caught doing what he was doing or it would have interrupted my destiny and it would have changed the course of me being able to get where I am right now.
This is all fabulous information, Roy. And for those that are just tuning in, we have Ohio State former Buckeye wide receiver Roy Hall, fifth-round draft pick of the Indianapolis Colts back in 2007 with us. Great content for us. And I wanted to kind of parlay off of what you were just talking about, you know, making sure that you're hanging around the right people and making good decisions. We talked to our kids, Roy, about going from high school to a multi-million-dollar college campus. as being a big feat and something that they need to be prepared for. Did you feel that you were prepared for Ohio State when you went on the campus as a freshman?
I was prepared academically. My study habits were really good, and I performed well in the classroom, so that didn't really bother me. I think the freedom is what most parents and most coaches can't prepare you for, that freedom to be in a dorm room, to have your own place to live, no curfew, no one watching over you. When you're living in a dorm where there's girls in the dorm, young women in the dorm, to have to police yourself, and that freedom can get you in trouble, especially if you're in a household where parents, you know, try and keep you away from doing anything negative and try and protect you from making so many bad decisions. Obviously, it's going to come down to your relationship with your parents and how you've been raised, you know, as far as right and wrong, but your ability to say no. What high school kids have a difficulty understanding is how to say no. Even adults have a hard time figuring out how to say no to their peers. But kids have to learn how to say no without feeling guilty. Say no to the people that are allegedly your friends and tell them no. The other football players that want to go out and drink and hang out and smoke and do different things, you got to be able to say no and be willing to give up that friendship. But those are the transition and being prepared. As far as football goes, I mean, you know that it's going to go up another level. You know it's going to increase in that facet. But academically, you know it's going to be a little bit difficult. But the freedom is what most people can't prepare for. And I just encourage parents and coaches to expose these kids and have the conversations. Just tell them what they're in for. Tell them what they're going to see. Have them talk to other high school or other athletes that have gone on to college and experience the college campus so that when they get there, it's, okay, this is what mom was talking about. This is what dad was speaking on. This is what the coach was talking about. This is the opportunity for me to show how committed I am to my destiny and to this team versus me experimenting because nobody had the conversation with me in the past.
I love it. Fabulous information. I know that you have limited time, so we have to, do we have about 8 or 10 minutes? Is that okay, Roy?
You're fine. We're flowing. However much you need, we're good to go.
Okay, perfect. Because I know the kids and parents are getting a lot out of tonight's show. Talk to us a little bit about being able to get on the field early. You played as a freshman. Ohio State is a big time college, a big time football program. What do you think it was that allowed you to get on the field early?
Well, I mean, technically, I played as a freshman. I ended up having to redshirt. But even in, when you're a redshirt freshman, you're still playing as a freshman. Just because you redshirt doesn't necessarily mean you're a redshirt freshman year that you're going to get a chance to get on the field. A lot of it is numbers, but a lot of it is preparation. Smart coaches are able to kind of see in the future and say, hey, you know, I'd rather redshirt you than play you a few snaps a game here and there. And I was a big receiver, could have played on special teams, but Coach Tressel had a good idea that, you know, he could fine-tune some of my skills, allow me to get a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, get better acclimated to the system of a college football player and what it took to grind on the body, to grind on the academics. And so my redshirt freshman year when I came back, I was bigger, I was stronger. I understood the playbook. I understood my responsibilities. Generally, your study habits has everything to do with whether or not you play on the field or not. You have to know what to do. It's not a matter of I can get on the field and I can catch the football. That's great that you can catch the football, but are you in the position that you're supposed to be in? Are you running the right routes? Are you able to block and physically get physical with some of the linebackers? If we ask you to block a safety, can you do it? Depending on what you do, how much can you handle as a young player? And you make a couple plays in practice, it'll get you noticed. But when those scrimmages come up and those first couple of games in the season where everybody gets a chance to get on the field and you can still get redshirted, those are when you need to stand out. But a lot of the study habits, but it also is making plays as well.
Great point. Talk to us a little bit about that national championship team. You were fortunate enough to play on a team that went to the national championship game in 2006. Was that everything that you dreamed it would be, or was it even bigger than you had imagined?
Well, it actually ties in to my freshman year, because my true freshman year in 2002, we won the national championship over Miami. And so all the freshmen, I mean, we were all down there. We were on the sideline. Everybody was in uniform. And so I got to experience winning one. I have a national championship ring from that game. So there's twofold. I understood early what it took to be winners. You have to be selfless. You have to be definitely unselfish, but you have to be willing to humble yourselves. You have to be willing to sacrifice whatever you have to, play whatever position you need to, fill whatever role is needed to be filled. You have to be willing to, as a superstar, play special teams. You have to make sure you stay academically sound so you're eligible to play. You have to have leaders on the team willing to confront other players on the team, not just having the coaches police everybody, but have some good seniors in place. We had Mike Doss, Donnie Nicky, and some good names on defense. Craig Krenzel was a junior at the time, our starting quarterback. Maurice Clarett was a freshman playing at the time. Chris Gamble was a sophomore. I mean, we had a lot of talent on that field and leaders, not just vocally, but also by example. And so when you put all those things in the pot and you get a good coach that's putting people in good positions, you win football games. And the same happened my senior year in 2006 when we played Florida. We lost that game. Really, they kind of beat us pretty handily. But it took all those things to get there and get in position. I mean, sometimes getting to the title game is harder than even playing in the title game. In our particular case, Florida just had a better team than us that particular day. But it was a lot of fun. It was hard work. It takes a team effort. You can't do it by yourself. I mean, we see it all the time. Guys go off of statistics and let me get mine. And then at the end of their careers, everybody wants to win a championship. And the funny thing is, well, did you not want to win a championship when you were a rookie? Did you not want to win a championship when you were a freshman? Now all of a sudden you want to get focused on the team environment, but it's too late now because you're too old. So, you know, if everybody can have that team mindset to win a championship early on and do what it takes. The people that win the Heisman trophies always go to the best team normally. It's not just the best person with the statistics.
Fabulous, fabulous advice. In your opinion, Roy, is college football a business? And if so, what does that mean for today's player? How should they navigate their career and make sure that things are on the up and up?
Well, the best thing that they should do is not worry about the business side of it. The word business in football really doesn't come into play or reveal itself until you get to the NFL. Now, obviously, with so much going on with the NCAA and paying players and having compensation for players and autographs, that changes the game up a little bit. But if your goal is to get to the NFL, it's not your job to worry about it. Before you sign on that dotted line on national day of intent, when you sign that national letter of intent, you have to say, okay, is this scholarship worth my growth, my goals, my destiny? Is this worth it to me? Because if I feel like I'm more valuable than a 4 or 5 year scholarship, then don't sign it. If you're more valuable than that piece of paper, sign that letter of intent. If you're more valuable, then don't sign it. But don't sign the letter and then get there and say, well, now I'm big time. I'm first team All-American, and I should be able to get some money for what I'm doing. But that's not what you signed up for. And so you have to understand accountability. You have to be a man of your word, a family of your word. There's really no reason to start arguing back and forth with the authorities and the NCAA for more money or this or that when you signed on for a scholarship. Because if you listen to all the interviews, they always say, well, I want to go to a school where I can graduate. I want to go to a school because football is just not about football. It's about my academics. I want to get my degree. But when they're in the process of getting a degree, they want to get money. And so you have to make up your mind what it's about. I tell people all the time, I was a fifth-round draft pick. I played 4 years in the NFL, and it was awesome to finally get paid for about 15 years of work. So you got to put that work in middle school, high school, and college, and then you'll get rewarded for it. But if you start getting caught up and trying to negotiate whether or not you should get $10 for your autograph or $12 for your autograph, or you should get more tickets than the next man, It changes the game into the NFL, and you don't want to include business for the amateurs on that level.
In your opinion, Roy, is it the NFL and NCAA's job to make sure that kids are taken care of, athletes are taken care of after their career?
I believe it's the NCAA and the NFL's job to educate players beyond what they're doing right now. They have to oversaturate the players' minds and extend their minds. I mean, you look at I'll just take an example. Chip Kelly ran this offense at Oregon that, I guess, allegedly changed the game and spread offense and fast running quarterbacks and all those good things, and he took it over to the NFL as well. Well, he has this offense that, quote unquote, revolutionized the game and, you know, all of it, you know, but they changed it up. So what he did was he just started implementing and going over and over and over his philosophy. And all they did was do things over and over and over and over. Now everybody's trying to go to the spread. And they put so much emphasis on this offense, and now it's all explosive and dynamic. Well, the same thing could be said for teaching these kids how to live life after football. You have to oversaturate them with information that even if it sounds foreign to them, it'll become a success if they just follow the steps. Just having a one-day seminar or two-day seminar on what life means after football is not going to help these guys. But there are guys that make it to the NFL. If you're broke and don't have anything as a college student and somebody gives you a check for $1 million, you don't know what to do with it. But immediately all the people that's on the outside say, hey, just hire some people to take care of your money. Well, what does that mean? You know, how do you trust anybody to take care of your $1 million? You just went from zero to $1 million. There's no investment that can take you from no money to $1 million overnight like you just did. And so you start thinking about all the people that you're trying to take care of. You start thinking about, I want to take care of mom and dad. You don't know who to trust. Who is it that can talk to me about what I should do with my money other than other former players coming back and saying, this is probably what would be best for you? The same thing can be said for the NCAA. What does it mean to get a degree in business when you're going to school to try and make it to the NFL? Every Division I athlete that say they go to college to get a degree, they may be true, but that is a distant plan B. Because you cannot be focused on being the best Division I athlete you possibly can if you're thinking about, I want to be an entrepreneur after school. So any football player that goes to Ohio State, they're like, my goal is to make it to the NFL. Because if your goal is to just get to Ohio State, I don't want you on my team. Everybody wants to get to that elite level. And so what does it mean to acquire a business degree? Well, you can get a job. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to be making $50,000 or $80,000? And did I become a business major just to make 80 grand? Like, do I really want to do that? And so you have to get into, if you secure a degree, is it in something that you're going to want to do for 50 years? And is it something that you would do for free if you could? I know you would play football for free because you've done it your whole life. So if you get your degree, what does that mean? Because most players that get the degree of the, you know, small percentage of people that make it to the NFL, they don't know what they want to do. Even the people that get done playing the NFL that have made millions of dollars, they have no idea what they're going to do with their life. They played 10 years in the league, they made $50 million, and they're 32 years old and have no idea what they want to do because they've not been educated. And so the same thing can apply to the guys that are in college. I have my degree, but I still, how many people do you know and people, the friends of your friends, that have a degree in something, can't stand their job, and they want to go back to school to get a different degree. And so you try and prevent those things and tell these kids, like, don't major in something to make a lot of money. Major in something that you're strong at. Major in something that you're passionate about. If you love lifting weights, major in something that can get you to become a personal trainer where you can train people to look good. If you like talking a lot in school and you always get into trouble, be a sports center analyst. Be a news anchor somewhere where you could talk and get paid to talk in front of a camera for free. If you play a musical instrument, instead of thinking about being a rapper or whatever it may be, understand how that you can put out your own album. You can get some equipment and start composing your own music. You can make music for movies. You can make music for you can make background music. You could be instead of being a rapper, you could be the person that makes the beats to make, you know, that you don't have to say one lyric. You could just make the beat. So getting people to think outside of the box and major in something that they would love to do if football ended. This conversation that I'm having with you right now, this doesn't happen on the college football level. So I was a marketing major at Ohio State, but it took me three or four majors to figure out what I wanted to do. and how I was going to utilize my talents that I've been blessed with.
Wow, golden, golden advice, you guys, from somebody who has been there, he's done it, and he's been an expert at it. When you make it to the NFL level, when you're getting a degree from a university with the stature of Ohio State, you're an expert as a student athlete and as a pro. So that is great advice that you guys need to take advantage of. Roy, before we let you out of the locker room tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Driven Foundation. It sounds like you're doing some amazing work, man, in Ohio. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Well, it's a nonprofit organization that I founded in 2008. I was actually a rookie with the Colts, and after having conversations with the likes of Peyton Manning and Coach Jim Tressel from Ohio State and Coach Tony Dungy, I wanted to make sure that I use football as a vehicle to help others, and trying to figure out how to use my platform to help other people reach their goals. So the Driven Foundation is a family and youth derived organization to help people with basic day-to-day needs, whether it's food or birthday parties for underprivileged kids or kids being released from children's hospital, mentoring programs for young men in the area, charity basketball games with other former NFL and Ohio State football players. We're pretty versatile in what we do. I found out early in the NFL that the more versatile you are, the longer you stay. And so the same holds true in life. The more things that you can do, the more people you can help, the further your reach, the more other people can reach their destiny and goals. So that's what we do. Right now we're in the middle of fundraising for our annual holiday food outreach. Every year we give away over 100,000 pounds of free food to inner-city Columbus families. We feed over 1,000 pounds, enough food to last them for about a week. I'm talking chicken, steak, pasta sauce, bread, cereals, canned goods, all types of stuff, fresh produce. So it's a great family event, which is definitely needed in the community. Let these people know that we haven't forgotten about them. If any of you are listening right now, want to get involved, even though you might be listening as far west as Cali and down south in Florida, all across the nation, you can go to drivenfoodoutreach.com. That's drivenfoodoutreach.com. And $25 feeds a family for an entire week. And if it's on your heart to do it, that would be extremely helpful. I know people that spend $200 on front row tickets to a college football game. So $25 to feed a family for a week kind of puts that in perspective for these people out here. So I just leverage my platform. I know that playing football was something that I love to do, but I realize that I'm blessed and God has me in position to use that platform to bless others and to help other people fulfill their dreams and goals, and let them know that they shouldn't quit. Don't ever give up, no matter what. Sometimes you don't get changed until you get challenged. You know, some of the challenges that we deal with, it seems like we're going down, but if you just could offer somebody just a hand up to help them up, to not ever tap out, it's a good situation. So sometimes a box of food can change somebody's life and change somebody's destiny for some of these kids that's not eating at night. So I know what it feels like growing up without some things, and so I want to make sure I address that. So, again, if you guys want to help, just visit drivenfoodoutreach.com. I appreciate you guys giving me an opportunity to share that information.
Oh, no, man, 100%. We wanted to give you that opportunity because I read up on what you were doing, and it's just some amazing work. And you guys listening, once again, you know, when you're an athlete, you have leverage to help others, but it's only leverage if you use it. And Roy is a perfect example of that. So once again, drippingfoodoutreach.com, only $25, you guys, helps a family for a week. So, hey, Roy, we appreciate your time, and we want to get you back on one day soon, okay?
Anytime. I love talking to you. You do a great job. For all you guys listening, make sure you tell your teammates, tell the coaches that don't know, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, because what these guys are doing and what you're doing on air, Mr. Wood, is just fantastic, and I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on with you.
Oh, no doubt. You guys, what you're doing is like-minded, and we love it 100% from East Coast to West Coast, helping out kids. So, hey, get some rest, and we'll be talking to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. You too.
All right, so there you guys have it. That is Mr. Roy Hall, somebody that has not only played at the big-time level of college but also played in the NFL. Real good guy. He stressed academics. He stressed having the right people around you, and he also stressed giving back to others and leveraging your local and national celebrity to help out others. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. Pump it out to all your friends, all your teammates, people that you know, because all these things are geared towards helping you get on the right track to achieve your dreams. So check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. You can get tons of information about the things that you need to have in place to receive a college football scholarship. Also, if you haven't checked out our book, beforeyougopro.com, that's a great read for you young athletes and parents out there as well. Tune in next week. We have more great shows. We air every Tuesday and Thursday. I am Coach Terrence Wood signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. You guys have a wonderful evening. We'll see you at the top.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Ooh.